Thank you, Brother Robert. Good to be back here with you. Feels like home. For the years we spent together and the years we've worshiped together and ministered together. It's good to see each of you today, and a lot of precious memories here. It's amazing. And some of the things that we're talking about today are conscious of time moving along so very quickly. I'll be looking at Hebrews chapter 12, only the first two verses in a moment. I'll read that text in a moment. But Billy Graham was asked one time what was one of the greatest surprises of his life. And his answer was how quickly the years have gone by. James 4:14 says, "What is your life? It is like a vapor that appears for a moment and then it vanishes away." 37 years ago, May 1978, Shirley and I and Stephen and Lisa, they in elementary school, came to Franklin to begin ministry here with you. Seems only like yesterday. Now Stephen is a pastor over in LJ, Georgia, with two children that are over 20. And our daughter Lisa is a registered nurse in Orlando, Florida. And amazing. We stayed here for these nearly 4 years. December 31st, 1981, we moved to Orlando, Florida to go on staff at First Baptist Church. Orlando is one of the staff pastors. After 23 years there as associate pastor, Shirley is director of the Child Enrichment Center, also director of the Sunday School for preschoolers for about 4 years. We came, as Robert said, and retired. That lasted a very short time, because one day I got a knock on the door and Harold Ball was standing there and he said, "Joseph Starczyk is retiring and I need you to come help me." And so we associated with First Baptist and in that fellowship, as we were already teaching a Sunday school class, and we began to work together. Then when Harold retired, we were interim pastor for those 13 months. And so now after when we came back in October of 2004, 11 years later, we have come to work and worship in this community with you, and now these last 4 years with Oak Grove Baptist Church out in the country. As I now approach the biblical 40 years, I'm very conscious of the fact of aging. Let me tell you a true story. I was visiting at Grandview one day, and as I was going into the lock back, the section that's locked where you lock down, I never know that code. They change it all the time, so I was asking people to open the doors for me. Well, coming out, there was a man, I guess he was a maintenance man, but I asked him if he would let me out. And he stood at the door and he kept looking at me. And I said, is there a problem? He said, "Well, I just wanted to be sure you weren't one of the residents trying to get out." Boy, did that wake me up to my aging process. The reality of aging is all around us. And I can look at all the gray heads and I can recognize that you identify. But we may be also like the Satchel Paige, the great baseball player that used to say, "How old would you be if you didn't know how old you was?" That's worth thinking about too. Well, after I've considered these years and here in the previous places we served, I now have accumulated 56 years in the ministry since I started. And realizing that there are fewer days ahead than all the years that have gone past, I want us to look at this text from Hebrews chapter 12. "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight of the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." This great chapter 12, context, of course, are the listing of the people of faith in the chapter before. And when he says we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses. Remind us that this was a picture, an illustration of an arena setting in which the people, the heroes of faith, were in the stands, and the runners are the believers going through the trials. Now, I want to insert here, because sometimes people look at that and take a wrong look at it, but this image does not necessarily imply that people in heaven watch us or know what is going on here on earth. Some people believe that. But it's really an illustration. It's not a revelation. And that's the backdrop to this great passage, this great cloud of witnesses. And when you look at that historical list in chapter 11, I wanted to kind of think about First Baptist. This is homecoming. And I walked with you back 37 years ago in the 78 to 81. And I remember some great people that make up this great cloud of witnesses. People who were faithful, who were constant encouragement to me and to you and to this church and to this community. And so I want to look real quickly at a list. And all these names, I'm sure I'm going to leave out a name or two, but these are some of the names. And all of these people I had a relationship with, both during those years in the 70s, as well as when we came back 11 years ago. But just listen to these names. The David Alligoods, the Martin Angels, Gene Baldwin, the Gus Baldwins, Norman Blaines, Hazel Blaine, Christine Boring, David Bradley, the Bill Bryants, Bruce Bryants, Meta Bryson, W.C. Burroughs, Jack Cabes, Ruby Kanzler, Paul Carpenters, Georgiana Carson, Charles Conleys, Sarah Conley, John Clarks, Vivian Crawford, Earl Downs, Prelo Drymans, Norman Gilberts, Carrie Gladwell, Nat Goodwin, Edwin Halls, Jimmy Hastings, Willie Hayes. I've got to pause there. Of all the people I've seen and met all my years, that's a character I will never forget. Willie Hayes, what a man. Ann Higdon, Beulah Holden, Quentin Holder, Bill Horsley's, Ernest Hyde's, George Horns, Bo Kinsland, Roy Kinsland's, Oscar Ledford's, Gene Paddles, Clarence Mason's, Bob McGovern, Bill Mills, Moody Sisters, Phil Newton's, Harry Neal's, Arville Parker's, Charlotte Peake, Curtis Pearson's, H.H. Plemons, Cleo Phillips, Jack Powell's, Margie Reese, J.D. Reese, Jack Revis, Esther C., Hilda Shepherd, Brownlow Shopes, Lake Shopes, Ray Swafford, Verla Swafford's, Mary Stiles, Vera Stewart, Jesse Ware, Jesse Webb, Norman West, Ed Whitaker's, Ed Welch's, Sam Whitehurst, Francis Winstead, Reed Womack, Francis Wood, and Kate Wren. A great cloud of witnesses. Got to know these people. Surely a lot of other people before that time, a lot of people since that I didn't know, have passed to join that great cloud of witnesses. Now the point is, as Brother Robert said as began today, that's the past. That's the background. That's the people that we thank God for their faithfulness. But as the old saying goes, we're up to bat. We are the ones now who are responsible to run the race. We are to remain faithful. We are to walk faithfully. We're to accomplish what God intended. We are accountable, every one of us, as these in the past. We're accountable to our Lord. We're accountable to the memory, to this great cloud of witnesses, these faithful forefathers who led the way through the years. Now, the writer of Hebrews gives us three clear points of reminders as to keys to this race that we're running. First of all, he said, lay aside every weight of sin. One of the things that can encumber and drag us down are sins that weigh us because they're sins of the flesh, sins of the spirit that we do not confess. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. The sins of the flesh, the sins of the spirit. Over in Galatians chapter 5, Paul writes, I say then, walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who are in Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the flesh, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. I've often said that when sin comes, the best way to handle it is to confess it immediately. In other words, keep short accounts. If we let sin dwell, then it weights us down and we cannot run the race effectively. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. You need to get rid of the weights, whatever they are. They may seem trivial, they may seem not that all that great, but they are those things that weight us down. So confess them quickly, and you need to keep short accounts. I read a particular writer by the name of Neil Strait wrote this particular statement. Sin does not serve well as a gardener of the soul. It landscapes the contour of the soul until all that is beautiful has been made ugly, until all that is high is made low, until all that is promising is wasted. Then life is like the desert, parched and barren. It is drained of purpose, is bleached of happiness. Sin that is not wise but wasteful is not a gate, but only a grave. Psalm 19 reads, verse 13 and 14, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins, the psalmist writes. Let them not have dominion over me, then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And so, is this an area that needs attention in your life as a part of the first family, as a part of the Christian family who's involved in this walk, in this race? Let be sure that the weights of sin be confessed, keep short accounts, and walk faithfully with him. Secondly, he says that we are to run the race with endurance that is set before us. You know, you've heard the statement, life is not a sprint, but it's a marathon. And we, as we age, recognize that very clearly. It continues to go on and on and on. So we need to recognize that faith is the key. Strength comes from the Lord, comes from his eternal word. We have faithfulness to walk with the Lord. In other words, we keep on keeping on to do the will of the Lord all our days. There is no retirement from doing his will. He's always calling us, no matter where you are in your age, your young years, your middle years, or your elderly years. We are called and to be remain faithful and walk in his will, in his way. And we're to do it, honoring him and blessing his wonderful name. The plan for all of us should be as Christians to finish well the race that is set before us. I like Paul as he wrote to the preacher Timothy, and he said in chapter 4, 2 Timothy, for I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, not to me only, but also to all who love his appearing. Paul had it right. He had kept the faith. He had kept the way, faithful to the Lord. And that's what God is calling us, to be faithful in the endurance of the race. I will stay with my calling. I will stay with my ministry. I will stay with his service. I will walk with him. This is no time, no time or no place for believers to walk away, as a proverbial playground word would be, take my marbles and go home. That should never enter our minds. You're needed. Christ calls us to be faithful unto him. We will give an account. God knows the record. He knows who are slackers. He knows those who've walked away. He knows those who are fumbling the opportunity. He knows, and we give an account to him someday. So I urge you to finish well. And I pray that for myself as these years mount up, that I finish well to the glory of Christ, honoring him and blessing his name in serving him. And then the writer of Hebrews brings us to the key point, and this has been so beautifully presented in the music today, even as the choir sang, that God orchestrated all of this together when he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's the basic point that we need to always focus on as we walk with him. We're looking at him. We look at one another. We can fail each other. We can fall short. We can make mistakes. We can let each other down. But he never lets us down. He's always the one we look to. And as we walk faithfully, to be found faithful, carrying out this basic principle of looking unto Jesus. Reminded me of the sports figure, the late Vince Lombardi, the great coach of the Green Bay Packers. They said that every season, when the season would begin, he would bring the men in and he would begin this way. He'd hold up a football and he said, gentlemen, this is a football. And that's how they began, with the basics. That's where we must stay as we live Christ, as we walk with him, as we honor him in whatever generation. As we look in the past generations and the cloud of witnesses that are behind us, they were faithful. Now we're the ones to walk faithfully, and God's holding us accountable. And we look to Jesus. For the believer, he is our basic point, to look to him, to keep our eye on the ball. He's our Savior. We received him as Savior and Lord, of our Savior of our lives, when we confessed him and received him as the Savior of our soul. That was our beginning, our becoming a part of the kingdom of God. And then we were to walk with him as Lord. He is the ruler. He has the right to tell us what to do, what we ought to do. And we listen to him and we follow him. He is the leader in life's directions, in the directions that we ought to go and what we ought to accomplish. He's given us marching orders. It's called the Great Commission. Go teach, preach, and baptize in my name across the world. And that's our responsibilities. And so Jesus answers the why, the what for life. Why are we here? Why are we worshiping? Why are we serving? What is our purpose? Jesus answers that and gives us the reason that we continue to be faithful to him. We keep our eye on him. Then we will carry out his purpose, and we will see for ourselves the salvation of the lost, because we will be witnesses unto him. You shall be my witnesses, strengthening of the body of Christ as servants to one another, as ministering or caring for each other, for making disciples, helping folks to grow in the faith, to show the fruit of the Spirit that we read a moment ago in Galatians, showing that fruit in our interactions one with another. When this happens, when we're keeping our eye on the ball, when we're looking at Jesus, then that will keep us from getting into self-centered attitudes, creating dissension, saying unkind words to each other, having personal agendas. These are evidences that we are taking our eye off the ball. We're not looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And so these are encouraging words. These are words of indictment. These are words of reminders to our lives as we walk this walk, thinking about the great cloud of witnesses that walked faithfully before us. Now it's our turn. Now we must be faithful. And this homecoming 2015 is surely a reminder that we must keep on keeping on. Now the writer of Hebrews went on to remind us of what Jesus did for our salvation. Did you see that in that latter part? When he talked about Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. What a beautiful picture as the writer culminates thinking about our responsibilities and what we are to be about and what we're to do of removing the weight of sin, running with endurance, looking to Jesus. We look to the Jesus who endured the cross, who endured the shame for our redemption. That's how salvation came, what he did for us. And when in faith, we receive him as Lord and Savior. And now he is at the right hand of God making intercessions for us. This beautiful picture in these short two verses gives to us an important key. And that's looking to Jesus is the basic cardinal point that we must follow. A writer that I appreciate that I've read by the name of Arthur Bennett has written this statement about Jesus that I love. And I've used it before. O Lord God, teach me to know grace precedes, accompanies, and follows my salvation, that it sustains the redeemed soul, that not one link of its chain can ever break. From Calvary's cross, wave upon wave of grace reaches me. It deals with my sin. It washes me clean. It renews my heart. It draws out my affection, kindles a flame in my soul, consecrates my every thought, word, and work. It teaches me thy immeasurable love. How great are my privileges in Christ Jesus. Without him, I stand afar off, a stranger, an outcast. But in him, I draw near and touch his kingly scepter. Without him, I dare not lift my guilty eyes. But in him, I gaze upon my Father God and friend. Without him, I hid my lips in trembling shame. But in him, I open my mouth in petition and praise. Without him, all is wrath and consuming fire. But in him, all is love and the repose of my soul. Without him is gaping hell below me and eternal anguish. But in him, its gates are barred to me by his precious blood. Without him, darkness spins its horrors in front. In him, an eternity of glory is my boundless horizon. Without him, all within me is terror and dismay. But in him, every accusation is charmed into joy and peace. Without him, all things external call for my condemnation. But in him, they minister to my comfort and are to be enjoyed with thanksgiving. Praise be to the for grace to thee for grace and for the unspeakable gift of Jesus. That's it. We keep our eyes upon him. So will you take advantage today to remember the past, the cloud of witnesses, the names that I mentioned? Some of you remain as widowers or widows of these that I mentioned. Others are your parents. My parents are in glory. All my aunts and uncles are in glory. All of us can bring together that great cloud of witnesses. They were faithful. They acknowledged. They walked with the Lord. And we praise God for that. But now we are here. We're in this generation. We're in this time and place. God's holding us responsible. We are accountable to lay aside the weights of sin, to be sure that we run with endurance, that we never stop the race, and that we keep our eyes on Jesus. When you keep your eyes on Jesus, you're going to go in the right direction. You're going to accomplish great things. And so we keep our eyes upon him and the mission that he's given us. In essence, it's what I call the big picture. I like to think about the big picture of life. Sometimes when we get caught in little minutiae of small things and little things that tear at us, we forget the big picture. The big picture is being reminded who we belong to, who we're committed to, and where we're going, and what our mission is. And when we keep that big picture as a church corporately, as we keep that big picture as a person in Christ personally, it's going to make a difference. You'll have joy. You'll have victory. and you accomplish much because you're keeping your eye on Jesus, the author, the one who saved you, and the one who will finish your faith. And so my call is today, if you don't know Christ, surely come to know Him. That's the beginning. That's where you start life and have that relationship with the one who died on the cross and paid for all your sins. Invite Him into your life and then begin to walk this walk and walk with the direction the writer of Hebrews has given us. And then as Christians in the body of believers that make up the First Baptist family, you're called and you're commissioned here again through this writer. As we remember the past, remember those great faithful servants, we now go forward and we're going to carry the torch. We're going to be faithful. God's going to honor that as we lay aside the weights of sin, as we run with endurance the race, we keep our eyes upon Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith.